It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. We'll meet a comedian who goes an extra mile to understand who he's satirizing.
You writers, you lefty liberal journalists, you chroniclers like to come into my office decade after decade and try to find some dirt on Joe Arpaio. You like to dig in my background, find some sexy stuff, but you never could.
That's from the latest episode of Us and Them, coming up in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A federal prosecutor will hold a symposium on marijuana today in Charleston. As Dave Mistich reports, the invitation-only event will feature law enforcement officials and researchers opposed to marijuana legalization.
Mike Stewart, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of West Virginia, is hosting the event alongside a regional task force aimed at curbing drug trafficking. Featured speakers include an ecologist who assists law enforcement in remediating illegal grow sites and the executive director of a nonprofit that opposes legalization and commercialization. Stewart himself has also been a staunch and vocal opponent of marijuana reform, including legalization for recreational and medical use. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, 33 states, the District of Columbia, Guam, and Puerto Rico, allow marijuana for medical use. 10 states and D.C. have legalized the drug for recreational purposes. It remains illegal on the federal level. West Virginia is slated to provide medical access to the drug on July 1, 2019, although technical cleanups to the law failed to pass during this year's legislative session. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
The West Virginia Autism Training Center, based at Marshall University, has expanded its program to Shepherd. Liz McCormick reports.
Shepherd joins Concord University as the second campus-based satellite site for Marshall's Autism Services Program. Under this agreement, a full-time student support specialist will be available on Shepherd's campus, and Shepherd faculty and staff will get training. Professors will receive support in their instruction to students enrolled in the program, and students interested in the field will have opportunities for clinical placement experience. Mark Ellison, executive director of the West Virginia Autism Training Center, says in a news release that about half the students who have autism across the U.S. have average to above average intelligence, but have other significant problems that lead to unemployment or underemployment. He says a significant reason for these issues is because of improper or ineffective support in higher education, or a lack of support entirely. The West Virginia Autism Training Center was established in 1984 and has served nearly 3,000 families and more than 5,000 educators over the past 34 years. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:47. Becoming mostly sunny today, high temperatures in the 40s, chance of rain or snow overnight with lows in the 30s, mostly cloudy Thursday with highs in the 40s and low 50s. There's a chance of rain on Friday with highs in the 40s and 50s. McDowell and Summers County schools will operate today on a two-hour delay. Over the past several weeks, in a series called Red State, Blue State, you might have heard Trey Kay, host of WVPB's podcast Us and Them, engage in a conversation about the culture differences between West Virginia and Southern California. In the latest episode of Us and Them, Trey finds a kindred spirit in a trio of Latino comedians who call themselves Culture Clash. Just like Trey, these comedians explore the space between cultural divides. Here's an excerpt.
I think the reason I really dig Culture Clash is because they interview real people and tell stories, kind of like I do. But they do it for the stage, not for the news. And they are partly the slapstick of Cheech and Chong and the oral history of Studs Terkel. But you can see Brecht and Beckett and Aristophanes in their work. I don't mention it much on this program, but before I was a journalist, I was a theater guy. My degree is in theater. And back when I was studying, there was something I heard several of my professors say. Movies are about plot. TV is about character. Theater is about ideas. And ideas are what is going on with the culture clash guys. They like to put the world under a microscope. They skewer public figures and poke sacred cows, and they get a kick out of making people in the audience squirm a little bit, no matter what part of the political spectrum they're on. So I was intrigued when I read that the Culture Clash guys are bringing back some of their stage shows from 20 years ago.
Will you send us a link of this doohickey when you get her all polished up and sounding good, man?
Yes, we definitely will.
Today, I'm speaking with Richard Montoya. He's one third of Culture Clash. He played the Chicano activist that we heard at the top of the show. He says they do scads of interviews when developing their characters. So when they decided to update Border Town, he says they grabbed their video cameras and audio recorders and headed back to the border.
We found ourselves in Nogales, Mexico. This is 2016. And so I seen firsthand how the border and the border towns had changed and taken a much darker turn. There was much more death on the border. The cartels had ratcheted up. The Mexican government had ratcheted up. And the militiamen and the immigration enforcement had also ratcheted up on our side with the advent of the election of Donald Trump and his policies. So there we were in the heart of it. So the border situation got updated for me. The humor could still be there, but it wasn't the joke fest of the 90s.
Richard's two partners in Culture Clash are Herbert Siguenza and Ricardo Salinas. The three of them conjure up all kinds of characters on stage. There's a white civilian militiaman who patrols the border with his AR-15. There's an African-American newspaper reporter who covers inner-city crime. In the updated version of Border Town, Richard steals the spotlight as Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
I'm Joe Arpaio. Welcome to the Man Cave.
Culture Clash interviewed Joe Arpaio while he was still sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona. That was before he was convicted of contempt of court and then pardoned by President Trump.
I am the proud son of Italian-American immigrant parents. My parents migrated here from Italy legally. They came in through Ellis Island legally, made a life for themselves in the Boston, Mass area legally.
On stage, the scene is an extended monologue. The sheriff paces his office and tells his story to a woman holding a video camera, which is pretty much what happened to Richard Montoya and his crew in real life. He says they were really surprised when Sheriff Arpaio approved their interview request.
And I told our group, look, we're all lefty theater artists from San Francisco and L.A. We wear that proudly on our sleeve. But I did tell our crew, you know, shirts and ties, let's go in. We all cannot stand Joe Arpaio, but let's go in like we're just professional people. And there was a trick in that. He kind of relaxed a little bit. And like I say, Trey, before I know it, you know, hours had gone by, and I just found a guy that was a little cut off from the rest of the world, a George C. Scott kind of guy, cut from an old mold that we don't often get, that unapologetic guy that had worked for Nixon. He had worked for the DEA in Texas. This guy knew where the bodies were buried, and it just took a matter of time. After all the BS, he just started to spin that yarn, and his paranoia became evident. So there's a Shakespearean-level drama going on there that if I go in there just hating the man, I won't get any of that. I wasn't going to fall in love with him either, but he got to me, Trey.
And it's that thing right there, why I love these Culture Clash guys. I find them very us-y and them-y in their approach. I mean, sure, Richard and his team have an opinion or a slant. He makes it clear from the get-go that he doesn't like Joe Arpaio. And based on that dislike, he could have developed his piece based on things that he'd read from news articles. And his portrayal of Arpaio probably would have been more two-dimensional and cartoonish. But Richard did his own research. He gets the story from the horse's mouth. And in doing this, he suspends his preconceptions with the hope of getting something deeper. Now, did he do a 180 and begin to love Joe Arpaio? I think not. But what he gets is a richer, more nuanced understanding of Sheriff Joe. And I love this. Richard told me that before he came in for the interview, Sheriff Joe's team did a little research on him.
They had Googled me a little bit. So he's like, oh, your father fought in Korea, huh? He goes, yeah, I fought in the Battle of Incheon, you know. And I feared that he played me, which he did a little bit. And he played me a little bit like a fiddle.
And I love that Richard felt like Arpaio played him. I mean, as I said, Richard could have stayed at home and based his Arpaio character off of news clippings, but he didn't. And Sheriff Joe could have rejected the interview request from a lefty Chicano thespian, but he didn't. These guys got into each other's space and risked breathing the same air. And getting played is part of the risk of making an intimate connection.
But in the entree, I got to play him, that well-heeled Anglo audience. Many of them probably found themselves stomaching Donald Trump. This piece hit them, I think, especially hard because we could expose the charming devil for who he was. You writers, you lefty liberal journalists, you chroniclers like to come into my office decade after decade and try to find some dirt on Joe Arpaio. You like to dig in my background, find some sexy stuff, but you never could. I've been married to the same gal for 57 years, so the only way to go after Joe Arpaio is to lie about him, say that I'm a racist and a profiler and a misogynoir and all this nonsense. But I'm still here. I'm still standing. God's walking out and looking out for me, you know, smoking Joe, still here. When I ran the DEA in Texas years ago, we ran full boogie along the border, posse comitatus, Stetson hats, the holsters, the ponies. We were stemming that tide of the brown tar Mexican heron that was coming in from Matamoros right directly into Brownsville. So we did a terrific job. We had the presidents calling me from Mexico and Richard Nixon calling me, phone ringing all the hood. Those were exciting times, terribly exciting times. And I tell you what, damn phone's not ringing so much anymore. Sometimes I got to check it. People aren't calling as much as they used to. They say that Sheriff Joe is toxic. I cost the people too much money. No one's calling me to say, hey, Joe, why don't you chime in on the midterms? You know, how about an endorsement, Joe? Hey, Joe, how you doing? Hey, Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand? You know, none of that sort of stuff. Hey, Joe, why don't you come to John McCain's funeral? Nothing like that.
There's something about Richard's portrayal of Joe Arpaio that I find really moving. And I guess it comes from the process of listening to Arpaio and boiling him down to his essence, and then interpreting the character to an audience in a way that reveals in a way that I think can only happen in theater. The person's craziness and humanity all at the same time. In the end, we see Joe Arpaio as a lonely old man who's disconnected from his power.
We've been listening to an excerpt of WVPB's Us and Them podcast. The latest episode is called Culture Clash, Back to the Border. To hear the entire episode, download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.